I love all of you. We love because God first loved us, and our relationship in the body organically, in all sincerity, at the very core, is that because God loved us, we love Him and we love one another. There will be four messages, but actually there will be four more messages, because at the beginning of every meeting, I have a short message on particular matters for about 5 or 7 minutes to fully release the Lord's flowing and His burden within me. And so we'll come to the general subject and the subject of message one in a few minutes. But I just want to open this way. And the source of it is with a very deep concern for every brother and sister in the Lord's recovery. And that is, each one of us has a personal relationship with the Lord. But I know some very dear saints who have been here for decades, and now they're almost as old as I am. I'm aware of their situation out of concern, not out of judgment, because everything that's outwardly done, they faithfully do. For instance, the church where they are, they have some verses and some ministry material for the morning time. And then there are other materials read corporately for the Lord's table meeting. But there needs to be a personal relationship with the Lord, because we are all in different stages. And I can just share this with you. I'm talking about 50 years. Just asking the Lord, "You know where I am. You know what I need. Please lead and guide me in the New Testament. What, not just chapters, but books like Romans or Colossians, but I would just spend a few minutes every day pray reading over some ministry material that is taking care of my personal, present relationship with the Lord. I just ask Him, Lord, what book should I be in? And I know our time is limited. All the practical human things from 5 or 5:30 in the morning until all your working day and your family situation. And so the time is limited. But if there would just be 5 minutes of a personal contact with the Lord, where He is guiding you here, and then He will be shepherding you, He will be caring for you in this particular way. So the general subject of this conference is body consciousness and truthfulness. Body consciousness, what's that? That doesn't mean that because you know about the body or you have the feeling, the thought, that I'm part of the body, so I guess I'm body consciousness. Well, if you are body consciousness, this means that everything you pray and speak and do are a body matter. So it's not just a thought, brothers. It's an inward realization. For instance, we all can say, I'm a child of God. I know this personally, that I've been born again, and I have the divine life from the triune God through Christ as the Spirit. Or someone can honestly say, I'm a believer. I have received the capacity to have faith, to believe. This is something genuine. You know this is part of your being. But to be body consciousness is not just a concept. Oh, there's the body, and I suppose I'm a member of the body. Please allow me to give a simple illustration. A little more than 2 years ago, around lunchtime, I had very severe pain in the center part of my body. And I just asked the dear brother, who's also a doctor, please bring me to the emergency room. I need help immediately. So he brought me there, and when I described the situation, they took me in immediately. And then they examined the situation through blood tests. They said, we'll take care of the situation that brought you here, but that's secondary. You need to have open heart surgery immediately. And as soon as I was told that by a cardiologist who had been my personal doctor for many years, he just said, Ron, there's no more stents going into your heart. He put in 6 of them. He said, you need open heart surgery. And within seconds, this feeling rose up. This is a body matter. I'm a member of the body. I cannot pass through this alone. And that's why I just asked the brothers, this is during a semi-annual training, would you have the feeling to let the saints know why I'm not here to give 2 more messages, and that they would have some simple prayer in the context of the body. And they did that because I'm not just a believer, I'm a member of the body, and I experience Christ for the body, and I am supplied in so many ways by the body. I cannot live independently any longer. So this is why we need to have this kind of body consciousness, that you realize I'm a member of the body. This is not a doctrine. You realize you're not independent. And just as a further proof of this, I received an email from somewhere in Texas, and you could tell he was a middle-aged brother I didn't know. We've never had contact with each other. He just said, "I've been praying for you, Brother Ron, and I am assured you're going to live through this for the sake of the body." And so body consciousness to me is not theory. This is just part of our being. But I'm emphasizing not in a doctrinal way, but in an inward realization. And then this is developed with this word truthfulness. And where did this word truthfulness come from? It came from one of the brothers from the very beginning, along with Peter, James, and John. This was John. I look forward to meeting him because his ministry started when he was about 90 years old. So he might have said, "Ron, you're a young fellow. You're just in your middle 80s. Come on now, you got to wait for a while." So because that was the nature of his portion of the ministry. And that is why, at a certain point, the Lord gave him this word, truthfulness. It's not just objective truth, but the divine reality, the divine truth, is now experientially real for you. And every part of your being, whether it's in your prayers, or in your fellowship, or whatever it is, you're not only honest, there is truthfulness there in your being. So this is how we get the general subject. Now, message one. The body, the governing principle of the church, the ministry, and the work. Now, you'll see the outline in many ways is quite profound. It's a very deep thought. But if we would just hold to the general subject, the body is the governing principle. And it's the governing principle of what? Of the church, of the ministry, and the work. So we all need to learn, wherever we are, whatever the stage we are in, we need to learn that there's something called governing principle. The body is a governing principle of these three things: the church, the ministry, and the work. So this is the main thought. And just be at peace. If what you get from the whole message is just this thought, you've got the core of it. But we'll go through step by step. And in various degrees, we'll just be enlightened according to where we are. The body is the governing law of the life and work of the children of God today. The governing law of life and the work of all of us. the church, the ministry, and the work are all on the ground of the body. The basic principle of the churches is the body. The basic principle of the ministry is the body. The basic principle of the work is the body. The Lord needs more brothers and sisters to have this kind of awareness, whether it's the church, the ministry, or the work. We're on the ground of the body, and that's the basic principle. Two, the churches are the body expressed locally. The ministry is the body in function, and the work is the body seeking increase. This seems to be so simple, but it's all-inclusive. The churches are the body expressed locally. That's what a genuine church is. It's a local expression of the body. Then the ministry is the body in function, and the work is the body seeking increase. And I assure you, the body is going to increase in Europe in a wonderful way. Amen. Before the last 7.5 years, when none of us want to be here then. Don't you want to be raptured before that? Amen. But prior to that, the Lord's, I believe, most intense work on the earth is in Europe, and it's in this way. This is where the final battle will be. Three, the church is the life of the body in miniature. The ministry is the functioning of the body in service, and the work is the reaching out of the body in growth. So the body is the governing principle, but you can see how it's functioning in the church, the ministry, and the work. So the churches, the ministry, and the work are quite different in function and sphere, but they are coordinated and interrelated. This thought is crucial here, to realize the distinction, the difference, but they're coordinated and interrelated. So the church needs the ministry and the work. The ministry needs the work and the church. The work needs the church and the ministry. Although it's independent, it's closely related because the body is involved in all three. All three are manifestations of the one body, so they are all interdependent and interrelated. Again, we're distinct, but they're interrelated. None can move or even exist by itself. Their relationship is so intimate and vital that none can be right by itself without being rightly adjusted to the others. Just having this realization, if you're a leading brother in a local church, if you're a brother or sister devoted to the work, the genuine work of Christ, or your others in the ministry, you realize that you need to be, you're distinct, but you are related to the other aspects of the church, the ministry, and the work. So we cannot be independent, although we have to be distinct. Three, they must move and act as one, for they are all in one body, regardless of their specific functions and spheres. We're just emphasizing the same thought from different angles. Whatever your function is right now, wherever your church is, what your kind of service is there. This is a body matter, and it functions in relationship to other members of the body. See, the church, the ministry, and the work derive their existence from, find their place in, and work for the good of the body. There's something flying here. So if he gets close, I'm going to crush him. But probably he's too quick for me anyway. So we're back to point C. The church, the ministry, and the work derive their existence from, find their place in, and work in for the good of the body. And so whether it's the church, the ministry, or the work, more and more we need to realize God's goal is the body. Amen. Every once in a while, especially in a prayer meeting of the church, or could just be a group of saints praying, just praying, Lord, Lord, come again, come back. Amen. And the Lord will listen, then he may say, get ready, come back for what? For what? Has the bride made herself ready? That's Revelation 19. The bride has made herself ready. The Lord knows this, and he can come in two ways, won't he? The first will be in a mysterious way and just rapture the living overcomers. And when they are all together standing before the throne, they will corporately be the bride. The Lord is coming for his bride. And then 3.5 years later, he will return to the earth with his wife, who's been experienced in spiritual warfare. I don't know what you young brothers think or imagine about, you know, getting married. What aspects of a wife do I need? And it's good you'd be thinking. At the same time, the sisters are thinking much more thoroughly than you are. They'll be very detailed. And so, it's just like the Lord. We have to have the realization that in order for the Lord to come for his bride, there first has to be the one new man corporately. We know this from Ephesians chapter 4. But that's based upon the reality of the body of Christ. So actually everything is waiting from the heavenly perspective, where the body has built itself up. When the body is built up organically, the one new man is manifested, and the bride has made herself ready. And so, will this take place during our lifetime? Or will the Lord have to wait another 40 or 50 years? Why not make this decision together? Lord, let's do it now. In one accord, corporately. Train us, prepare us. We believe we're at the end of this age. We don't have to wait for another lengthy period of time. And so if the principle of relatedness to the body and the interrelatedness among the members is not recognized, there can be no church, no ministry, and no work. What a thought. I need to focus on this for a moment. If the principle of relatedness to the body and the interrelatedness among its members is not recognized, there can be no church, no ministry, and no work. I graduated from the Princeton place graduated in 1964. And for the previous 11 years, certainly after I was saved and the Lord called me inwardly, "Ron, I want you to be a minister." Every night, as I was kneeling down and trying to pray a little, he would just say this one thing, "Ron, I want you to be a minister." Then I gave him an answer, "I can't." Next night, "I want you to be a minister." "I can't." Then after 2 weeks, even though I was only 16, I was asked to give a message, believe it or not, in this denomination, and all of us were shocked, including me, that something was flowing out, some capacity. And so, it's at nighttime now, I'm down on my knees. Lord, I'd say, "I want you to be a minister." So I couldn't say, "I can't." I just said, "I won't." Next night, "Be a minister." "I won't." Very, very simple relationship going on until the end of the month. "I want you to be a ministry." "I will." Meaning I make the decision. And then the Lord began to work, even though I was so young. Through high school, through university, for the 3 years at the cemetery, so-called. But then I was graduating. Somehow, I'm giving this testimony. I don't know where this came from, but I just told the Lord, "I will not accept your permissive will. I will only accept your perfect will." I didn't know what it was. I just somehow knew it existed. And so the Lord then began to close one door after another. For 2 years. Then I remember the Thursday I was in a studying, and I just considered, should I be in another denomination? Should I be in another group? Then the Lord enlightened me. I realized they're all the same. I will leave the entire the arrangement, the entire system of Christianity, its religion. I'm going to leave it all behind and follow the Lord's leading to go to California, and there he will make his will known. And so, I, with my new young wife, way back in 1966, we just went there. And then I met a brother. Because we were praying together, a group of brothers, and he said that you've been reading the ministry of Watchman Nee. You could tell by your language. You may not know that his co-worker, Witness Lee, lives in Southern California. And we'd like you to come to visit the church meeting in the city where we are. And then he gave me some ministry material. Then I realized, this is what I've been waiting for. This is the truth. And then I realized, this was the Lord's perfect will, to be in the genuine church life. And I remember, I didn't like to be in Southern California. I liked to be in the north. I just shouted out the window when I was going to another part, the far away. I said, bye-bye, Southern California. I'm not going to see you ever again. But then 3 weeks later, I came down there to live and just be an ordinary brother, to get a job teaching, just being a member of the body. And then I realized, this is God's will. But if there had been none of the points in point two under C, under one, there's no interrelatedness. The members of the body do not recognize there'd be no church, no ministry, and no work. So I was saved from no church, no ministry, and no work to the very core of the Lord's recovery for the last 58 years. And now, more than ever before, I realize, was at the beginning I thought, I'm just in the church. And all of us were so young. I remember we were singing this hymn, "We stand right here till Jesus comes, standing on the local ground." That's it, we arrived. We're ready to be raptured because we're in a local church. And dear Brother Lee, it's like we are all little children. I mean like 5 or 6 year old, spiritually speaking. But you had to wait a long time. But to help us to grow, to realize that we want to have the reality of these things. Now this, the second section. Because God's eternal economy is to obtain the body of Christ, we need to have a vision of the body and do the work of the Lord's recovery under this governing and controlling vision. Governing and controlling vision. So this is a conference. It's not a training. Let's say if it were a training, I would say, All the dear brothers in the front row, would you stand up, please? And each one of you share just for 4 or 5 sentences. Tell us your governing and controlling vision. And I don't know what anyone would say. I would hope someone would say, Ron, I don't know what you're talking about. A vision? I don't know if I've ever had a vision. But someone else can say, Ron, by the Lord's mercy, I've seen something. But what is it? Then you can testify, we would all realize this is real. This is genuine. You're under a governing and controlling vision, not a governing and controlling person. We'll see this in another message in one of the opening parts, that there is no one in the Lord's recovery. I'll speak more detailed on this, Lord willing, tomorrow morning, who has authority. You'll find out there's a verse at the end of the first book. Book of the New Testament, that all authority in heaven and on earth is in the resurrected Lord Jesus. Amen. We don't have any of this, but we are under the governing and controlling vision, but we're not under governing and controlling people. The body fulfills God's desire for his expression and destruction of Satan. This one sentence, what it contains is marvelous. God's desire for his expression. There is a verse, whenever I think about it or pray, read it, in Ephesians 1, the desire of God's heart. Just consider this right now as we're meeting here. There's a desire in God's heart. Not just a will, he would say, I am God. I have all authority in heaven and on earth. This is what I want. And I expect you to do it. Rather, there's a desire of his heart. And probably, I don't think the Lord will have this leading in the meeting, but I believe there's a number in this meeting of different ages and in different situations, you can honestly say, by the Lord's mercy and grace, I can share, brothers and sisters, that the desire of God's heart is now the desire of my heart.
Amen.
Then someone would ask, not interrogating, but just wanting to know the fellowship, what is the desire of God's heart that has become the desire of your heart? The Lord wants to get married. The Lord wants to come for his bride. So, this fulfills God's desire. And the more we are fulfilling God's desire, the more we are destroying Satan's evil work. Because one of the characteristics of the bride who has made herself ready is she's been an experienced warrior now. That's why I was so thankful that we sang that second hymn. We're fighting the battle now. And again, Europe is going to be the central place for this final battle. And due to my, age and physical changes, I used to be traveling internationally 10 times a year. Now it may be, Lord willing, once and twice, but it's going to be from Southern California to Europe. Amen. That we can just be in this final move together. Amen. To open the way for the Lord to come and rapture his bride. Be the work of the triune God in us is to produce the body of Christ. Any work outside of this is not on the central lane of God's eternal economy. So our work needs to be the work of the triune God to produce the body. The Lord's recovery is for the building up of the body of Christ. This one sentence describes the Lord's recovery where we are now. The Lord accomplished, again in Europe and somewhat in the United States, from the time of about the 16th century, but when there was a crucial turn to recover the genuine church life, the Lord realized he cannot do this in the United States, he cannot do it in Europe, so he went to China. And we look forward to a sister that I believe the time will come when we will meet her. She had the burden from the Lord to just be in China. Not so much to work as just to be an outlet for the Lord's life. And the brother she loved and who loved him, he was a preacher, a very good one in the UK, he said, I can't leave UK to be in China. And she said, I can't leave China to be with you. And when a number of young men were saved, he met with her, a group of them. And she really was shepherding them, but also training them. And one by one, they left until one remained. That was Watchman Nee. And all that was in her being was poured out into him. And at a very young age, he almost died. And he suffered physically from there to the last moment, until 1972, but the Lord kept him. And then when she was passing away, she gave him her Bible. Well, I just look back upon it. If that sister had not followed the Lord's leading to be in China, and to fall into the earth and in the ground, like in John 12, we wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be a Lord's recovery. That's aspects of the practical work that's necessary in these situations that brothers need to take the responsibility. But on a deeper side, there needs to be some sisters that are praying and have the discernment, but have the proper relationship with the brothers, that there can be this realization that the Lord's recovery, the goal is the building up of the body. Amen. This is where the Lord's recovery is now. D, all the problems in the church today are due to the lack of seeing the body and to ignorance concerning the body. The way we behave ourselves in the church, the ministry, and the work depends upon the degree of our seeing the body. This is an important thought here. The way we behave ourselves in the church, though we're in the church, or we're in the ministry, or we're involved in the work, the way we behave ourselves depends upon the degree of our seeing the body. So again, we're coming to this crucial point concerning the body, seeing the body. Then just seeing it, having a governing vision, then the way we behave in the church, the ministry, and the work will be radically different, because there's body consciousness in all that we're doing. Okay, section 3. The ministry of the new covenant is for the producing of the body of Christ. The ministry of the new covenant. 1 Corinthians covers the body of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians tells us that if we desire to have the body of Christ, we must have the new covenant ministry. So in this point A, we see in 1 Corinthians the thought, the vision of the body of Christ. But in 2 Corinthians, there's really the desire to have the body. But here in 2 Corinthians, the emphasis is on ministry. In July 1967, my life changed again. I'd been in the Lord's recovery for 6 months. You know, it's just a fact. I knew virtually nothing. But Brother Lee began to give messages on 2 Corinthians. And he said, this is the book of ministry. Of ministry. And then he pointed out in a very clear way the difference between a gift and ministry. And he was applying this to speaking. Someone may have a gift, but they could go up on the platform and they're a gifted speaker. And so they can speak many things that many people, not discerning ones, would just be quite touched by this. But that's a gift. But then he talked about what the Lord needs is ministry. And brothers and sisters, still, in a positive way, my heart is aching. It's aching. In this way, I appreciate other co-workers emphasizing the need for the work. We need brothers and sisters that will enter into the practical work. And then others would say something similar regarding the responsibility in the church life. But the ministry, and I just, deep within, I wonder, Lord, and there are two levels, and one level is, Lord, there's a deep concern, are there any young brothers and sisters, like in their late teens or their early 20s, that deep within they realize, Lord, you need ministry. And I'm learning what you mentioned in this one, these messages you gave in 1967, that you have to pay the price to have the ministry. It's not a gift. Are you willing to pass through the stage? And so on one level, I'm wondering, there's so many highly educated brothers and sisters, so many gifted ones. But at a deeper level, I just have the reason to believe there's another generation of brothers and sisters that are taking the way of the cross. They're young, just as I was young. But they could realize the difference between a gift and ministry. And ministry is the result of revelation and suffering. And they say, Lord, I just present myself to you. Just work on me and work in me in any way you want for the benefit of this final stage of the ministry. And I sincerely believe there are young brothers and sisters in this meeting who have that inner feeling. Amen. And I'm here to say amen to you.
Amen.
Don't hold back.
Amen.
I don't regret one event that I had to pass through in all these 55 plus years. No regrets. When we're in a situation, we don't know what's going on. We don't understand. But having many of you, some years later, the Lord will say, now do you realize why this took place and why it happened? And then you can say, Lord, now I can praise you. I can thank you. And then the Lord, maybe with a smile, he would say, don't worry. I'll never do that again. And you know what the next thought is? I'll be doing something different. But you realize, whatever you will to do, it's perfect. I can just tell you ahead of time, if you're the source, Father God, your will, then that settles it. So that we have this desire, this is back on point A, to have the body of Christ. So we must have the new covenant, the ministry that we're talking about in 2 Corinthians. Without the new covenant ministry, there is no possibility to bring forth the body of Christ. And so, sisters, especially in small groups, when you're praying, the Lord may lead you to pray, Lord, we pray for a new covenant ministry to bring forth the body. Lord, do this all over the earth. Because in the final warfare, it's going to be mainly younger saints. So many of my generation have finished the course. They're gone. Every once in a while I wish, Lord, why am I here? They finished their course. They're in paradise. They're going to be in the coming kingdom. And that I'm still here. Then the Lord, if he said anything, he said, you mentioned about doing my will. It is my will as I still want you to be here. So press on. Amen. Press on. Amen. So therefore, when we have this kind of ministry, then there is the possibility to bring forth the body of Christ. The sphere of the ministry is the body of Christ, which may be expressed locally as the church or extra locally as the work. What we have in the Lord's recovery is not one man's individual ministry, but a corporate ministry of the body. And notice, you got the verses 11 through 13, but they refer to Ephesians 4:16. And if you look at these verses, every member of the body has ministry. So let me pause here. I just ask you in a very tender way, do you realize that you have a portion of the new covenant ministry that no one else has? You have a portion. This comes up again and again when I'm teaching a class at the full-time training. When I give them an ample time, they just share something for about a minute of something you've seen or touched you or enlightened you. Then I point it out as you're waiting for your turn. And other brothers or sisters, they spoke the same subject. And you're wondering, I'm just going to say the same thing. But I try to encourage them by saying, you may apparently speak the same thing, but only you have this portion of Christ. No one else. And so you may be speaking basically the same thought, but your portion is flowing out. And more, these dear young ones are willing to learn to do this, that you have your portion. But now I'm speaking to you. If you look at these verses, that in that chapter of Ephesians 4, you have some men that are gifts themselves, but they're a gift to the members of the body to train them, to prepare them, so that the members of the body are the ones that do the work of building up of the body in love. And to realize every one of you in this meeting has a portion of the New Testament ministry that no one else has. That's why, within well before 9 o'clock, I'll just stop my portion. And I hope that many of you, and if you have to do in a different language, then that's someone side by side, and just help us all understand, to realize you have a portion of Christ, you have a portion of the ministry that no one else has. Amen. And the more you speak about it, the more it will be developed in you. Amen. So D, what we have in the Lord's recovery is not one man's individual ministry, but a corporate ministry of the body. And so this is what needs to take place in these four meetings. It's not just Ron Kangas is here giving a message. He shared his portion. Then the door was open for many of us to respond. This is a corporate matter. Now the final section, 4. Our work in the Lord's recovery is the work of God's economy, the work of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is organic and does not allow anything of human work. And the body is not built up by using man's natural methods or organization of human work. So the Lord needs to show each one of us the difference between the organic aspect of the body, and that does not allow anything of human work, human ability. That is, the body has nothing to do with that. The body is not built up by using man's natural methods or organizations of human work. And so if you have a gift by God's creation, a number of you, I just point out to you that I believe the time will come when you need to make a decision. You're not going to be forced to by the triune God. He will just present the matter to you. You have the gift. You have the ability. I'm asking you to set aside the gift and share your portion of the ministry. And I made that decision. I can honestly say that I'm with you, I'm conversing with you. This is not some kind of gift of speaking. It's just your brother letting the flow and shine into you, that you would respond in the same way. Because it's not the gift. It's the genuine ministry that we all have a portion of. B, most of the work in today's Christianity is human work, is natural, and has nothing to do with the building up of the body of Christ. If any of you have been in the denomination before you came into the Lord's recovery, you know the difference. And a lot of things are going on, but it has nothing to do with building up the body. C, we may be very gifted and have a large capacity to work out something, but what we work out may be the same as worldly people carrying out a certain enterprise. I've seen this happen. That someone is saying, I'm not in the world. I'm not with that kind of group. when I'm working here in the Lord's recovery, but it's still using that natural capacity. But the Lord knows that this is really not, this is the worldly way. And here I want to pause because I still have a couple minutes. Verses that have been governing my life since 1966. At the end of chapter 7 of Matthew, the Lord said, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of my Father. But he who does the will of my Father." Then I can't quote exactly, but the thought is accurate. "Many on that day will stand before the Lord. Even many of us will stand before him and say, 'Lord, in your name we did so many things. We cast out demons. We preached this. We accomplished this.'" And the Lord didn't say, "You're correct. You did all that work." He said, he will say, "I don't recognize you because you have not done what the will of God done required. Just depart from me." Then the next word, "workers of lawlessness." This is going to happen, beloved brothers and sisters. Just because we're in the Lord's recovery, objectively, I'm doing all of these things. I went to that place and I accomplished this. And I obtained that. But the Lord will say, "Depart from me. This was not the Father's direct will. This was the Lord allowing you to do what you wanted to do. But isn't our whole life on the earth, with all that it entails, if we would stand before the Lord at the judgment seat and hear him say, 'Well done, servant, slave, well done. You just did what I required of you. I welcome you into my joy.'" Brothers, I've made that decision under the Lord's leading a long time ago. And as the years go by, the leading is more intense, and it's more exact, and it's more limited. But I wouldn't want it any other way. I don't know any other way to live but to do the perfect will of God, not what he allows, but what he requires. And for him to say, "Well done. Well done. Come and reign with me for 1,000 years. Okay. Okay, section D in the last 2 points. In the Lord's recovery, we should not have the thought that we can do a particular work according to our way. Rather, we need to realize that in the Lord's recovery, there is only one work, the work of the body. What we are doing today is not our personal work, but the work of the economy of God, the building up of the body of Christ. All the co-workers should do the same one work universally for the unique body, the starting point of the work. Is the oneness of the body. So this is an opening word. And there'll be ample time now for you to share, but we'll have a brother to give an opening word. As soon as I can sit down, he'll come up, and then others just follow the inward leading of the Spirit. Then at the end, a brother will end, because this is your time, this is your portion. Wherever you're sitting, please follow the inner leading and come to the microphone and share. But let our dear brother give the opening word.